Sairam listeners, and welcome to this week's episode of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, a series in which we play Swami's discourses in small parts and try to undertake a small discussion following each part of that discourse. We are in the 1990 summer course series. We've gone through 9 discourses. We're in the middle of the 10th discourse, and by far one of the most complicated and profound discourses we've been through. So as always, to wade through this very profound discourse, I invite my brother Sai Prakash to join me. Sairam Sai Prakash.
Sairam Prem.
Before we begin, I, on behalf of you and all our listeners, offer our humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. And yes, 3 gunas, and we are still with the 3 gunas.
You know, I really liked the way you said, Swami's discourse followed with a small discussion. You know, the length of the discussion has been coming down over the episodes, because there is less and less that we know of. As the topics get subtler and subtler, it's just amazing. There's nothing we can discuss about what we are going through right now.
Right. And in that sense, this particular discourse has been definitely a revelation. I've said it the last time too. Most of what Swami is telling in this is something which is absolutely new to us, because, you know, whenever you talk of 3 gunas, mm-hmm. we've heard Swami speaking about the 3 gunas many times. And I remember doing we did a presentation on 3 gunas when we were in the first year of post-graduation.
Mm-hmm.
But always 3 gunas was something which you manifest.
That's the
point.
You know,
it's a character or a trait which you exhibit. But here is Swami saying that is the very basis for this multiplicity you are seeing today.
And, you know, that is the truest sign of compassion. When Swami sits and listens to all the half-baked knowledge and wisdom that you are discussing right in His physical presence. Right. And with love, He says, okay, a time will come when they will actually know.
In fact, you know, just talking about it, I just got reminded, when we did a presentation on 3 gunas in the awareness class, I remember one student got up and said, you know, see, Swami says that we all are divine. In that light, isn't this all very superficial? No, isn't this very, very mundane? You're talking about being calm and peaceful and being this one and being aggressive. Isn't that so superficial? Swami is telling you to go to the root. You know, that time I don't know what answer we gave to get over that. But actually it is the root, you know.
That's the point, yes.
Now when we're looking at this discourse, definitely those 3 gunas is the root for this whole confusion to come by.
That's true. I mean, over the years, Swami has given this series in 1990.
Right.
And we all went through, you know, education in Swami's institute. And I'm really not proud of myself because we had no idea of all this. But I guess it's again Swami's love, and things come to you at the right time.
Right. No, it's when you talk about karma, generally people ask you, you have done something right or wrong. Why should you be given the reward or the punishment during a time when you're not aware of it?
That's the point.
They quote something of the past birth and they say that you've done this. You must have done something like that, so you're going through. And often the question which people ask in frustration is, why should it be given to me when I'm not aware of it?
Correct.
Why should I mean, if I'm told that this was the mistake and this is the punishment, then I'll learn. Right? And one argument which people give is, who is learning? No, you have a conscious mind, a mind which has memories which you're conscious of, but there is also another mind in you which is actually doing the learning. How is it that being born in the same family, two brothers behave separately, differently? Because there is something in that child which is already learned and which is expressing itself as a character.
Correct.
In that child. So similarly, you know, when we say that I sat through a discourse of Swami and I didn't learn, the conscious aspect of our mind did not take any cognition of these profound things which Swami said. But I think the very fact that Swami kept at it, and Swami kept, when you go through this discourse, Swami gave this discourse to a set of teenagers. And I can well imagine that what would have been the predominant mood in that in that audience.
Correct.
You know, most of them would have just said that, okay, I just cannot
It's way beyond me.
It's way beyond me. But still Swami kept at it, and Swami has not... even for an iota, he has sacrificed the details.
Exactly.
He has gone at it in a very, very systematic manner without giving up any any effort in explaining it to the complete detail.
Correct.
It only means that Swami knows that somebody else who is doing the learning, even if you are not aware of the learning which is happening.
Correct. And it comes back to you at the right time. And as I mentioned earlier, when people actually go into that state of oneness with God, then the entire knowledge of the universe becomes available to them.
Right.
So that purity of mind, once you achieve and you have that experience of oneness with God, then automatically all the knowledge in the world and knowledge of this world and knowledge of the beyond becomes available to you.
Right. In fact, you know, the way Swami starts this particular discourse on Trigunas, that's what he says. Scientists are always trying to understand the secrets of creation. But the spiritual person was always looking at the creator.
That's right.
And he said that is the difference because, you know, the way the creation has happened, the little detail which Swami is, out of his compassion, revealing to us, is enough to boggle us. But I'm sure there is so many, you know, minute things which Swami is just not going into. But that's what Swami is saying. The secret of creation is known only to the creator. And you're spending all your time trying to understand the creation. But what God is saying is look at the creator. Try to comprehend the creator. Get into that process. And Swami says the spiritual path aims at investigating the nature of the creator.
Correct.
And ultimately becoming one with him. Not just in the level of being an observer or being a knower. But being that creator himself. And that's how Swami starts this discourse. But then comes the mathematics part.
You know, but talking of the three gunas and also connecting with what you had mentioned, our understanding of the three gunas, we classify, this is a sattvic quality,
right.
This is a rajasic quality, sleep and sloth is a rajasic quality, and you know, being ambitious, trying to achieve is all a rajasic quality, anger, you get angry, that's a rajasic quality, and we have classified these qualities, and we say that this is sattvic, rajasic, but when you look at Swami's life, and we have, you know, as students here, and I'm sure many people who have lived with Swami in close physical proximity, you would see Swami getting very angry at times.
Right.
And you would see him just blasting away. And he has also explained, he says, see, when I scold, when I get angry with you, so-called quote-unquote anger, I'm not actually angry. I'm just doing what is required for you to get transformed. So basically, he says that, yes, this is an action that will set you right. That is also a love. Basically, it's like a hailstorm. There's rain where you get water, but a hailstorm is also water in a different kind. It's just the ice cube. So his anger, so the actual thing of the three gunas is beyond the qualities of what you exhibit in your daily life. So you, just because Swami is angry with somebody, you can't say that, oh, Swami is having a lot of rajasic quality. No, because he, the body, the avatar, the body which the avatar has taken, is doing its duty of transforming people. But Swami is not angry.
Yeah, the simplest way of understanding that is, Swami could choose to be angry and choose not to be angry.
And
that was something we could really see every day.
Yeah, that was one thing. And another most amazing thing which I have seen, you know, Swami is looking at a person and blasting away. Next millisecond, he's looking the other side and smiling.
Right.
You, if you have observed it keenly, you will know that it is really not, it's not anger. Because if a person is really angry in the sense that we get angry, you know, our mood is spoiled and we, you know, but he's shouting and this side, the moment he turns is absolutely, you know, blissful. So it is just put on, but it is also done with love.
Right. And I think that ability to, if you can say so, get into a rajasic mood and get out of it at will, actually qualifies him as above all these three things.
That's the thing.
The very fact that we can be pulled into it and pushed out of it, and you know, our sattvicness can be challenged by any small situation happening around us, it just shows that we are being played around by these things and we are not in control of these things. And that is when you can say that he's more sattvic, or, you know, he's predominantly rajasic or whatever.
Correct.
But the idea that Swami could do anything or react to a situation the way he wanted to react just shows that he's above all these characteristics and qualities.
That's true. You know, maybe slightly off point here, but there is one very interesting observation I remember from Nisargadatta Maharaj. What he said is, the understanding and experience that you are nothing is the ultimate wisdom. Okay. And the experience that you are everything is love. How beautiful, no?
Right.
The experience that you are everything, that you are the one in everything, that is love. And Swami says, I separated myself from myself to love myself. So that experience of love is all inclusive. And the experience of wisdom is aloofness. Okay, aloofness in the sense that yes, you are everyone, you are one. But I am not the apparent, I am not the one that you consider, I am not the body and all. So in that sense, the three gunas have been kind of a primordial instrument. You know, he has taken the five gunas and then used them with the three attributes of sattva, rajas, tamas to create this entire universe. In a sense, the five elements are themselves gods.
Right.
Because they are the ones who created the universe. And that's why our ancients worshipped them.
Right.
We worship Agnideva, you know, god of fire, god of water, god of wind. The elements were themselves made into gods. Because truly they are the ones who created the entire universe. Right.
And the idea that you're worshipping something which you know is part of you also.
That's the point.
Because the ancients always strongly believe that this body is come from Panchabhutas.
Correct.
So you're worshipping a deity which you know has actually constituted you.
Correct.
So it, I mean, there itself you are not only giving the platform of a deity to an element, but you're knowing that what I'm praying to is actually
in me.
In me.
In every cell,
in
of,
every cell of my body.
That's amazing.
And you know, just, it's a beautiful, I don't know, I'm not able to take my mind off that quote of Nisargadatta Maharaj, because it's so beautiful, you know, when Khalil Gibran puts it, love can neither be possessed, nor does it seek to possess.
Yes.
You know, when you look at it, love neither possesses, nor it doesn't seek to possess, it can only happen if love is completely convinced that there is nothing to possess.
Correct.
When everything is yours and everything is you,
yes.
What is there to possess?
Correct.
And that is what, you know, I think that is what he means to say, that when you see yourself in everything, that is the state of love.
Correct. And that's what Swami also told in one of the interviews with one of the senior devotees. Swami said, when I go for darshan, devotees don't come for my darshan, I go for their darshan. Because I see myself in each and every one of them. So I go to connect to myself. That really explains how, you know, his compassion was so spontaneous.
Right.
And his love was so spontaneous.
Then maybe just quickly, some of the points maybe that will help us with the discourse clip which we're going to play today.
Okay.
The one standout point which Swami made, which is the basis of the whole thing, is Swami saying that the sattvic aspect of the, I mean, first he says the Atma or the God is the ultimate.
Mm-hmm.
Then comes the three gunas.
Yes.
Right. And then he says the five subtle elements of the space, air and all of them emerge from the Atma, and each of the five subtle elements is constituted of the three gunas.
Correct.
So I think the hierarchy would be the divine super soul, and then let's say the three gunas, and then you have these three gunas manifesting themselves as the five elements. Does that make sense?
I mean, it is the five elements with three attributes, each of the element having three attributes. Of, because sattva, rajas and tamas, they are attributes. There is no existence
Of their own.
Of their own. So they are attributes. So in the sattvic manifestation or an attribute of each of the element, you get the pancha gyanendriyas.
Right. And that's what Swami says here, that each of them have these three aspects. The sattvic aspect of akasha becomes the hearing.
Yes. The sattvic aspect of akasha becomes hearing. And the rajasic aspect of akasha becomes the vak.
Becomes vak.
The
and,
word.
Right. And similarly, Swami says the sattvic aspect of water.
Water.
Becomes the faculty of taste.
Correct. Tongue.
Then the nose represents the sattvic aspect of earth.
Yes.
So each of these, and each rajasic aspect expresses itself as a karmendriya, right?
Karmendriya.
One is the sattvic aspect is in jnanendriya, and the rajasic aspect is the karmendriya.
And as I recall, last time I had a doubt, and I think I've got an answer to it, where Swami says that the you know, the antakarnas are the result of the sattvic manifestation of the elements.
Okay.
And prana is a rajasic manifestation of the elements. So here, according to what Swami has brought out these points, the rajasic manifestation of the elements not only gives rise to
the karmendriyas,
but also to the panchapranas.
Panchapranas, right. Yeah. And this prana is actually not the breath as we see it, right?
That's the point.
It gets confused with that. But these are the five vital airs.
Correct.
As Swami puts it. In,
prana, apana, vyana, udana,
samana. And samana. Yeah. Which, do we know the exact ones? I think it is, one is the breathing, the other is the process of excretion, the other one is process of digestion.
Correct. Yeah, I had a Google printout from Google, but I don't have it right now. So, so, there are different... you know, functionalities of the five vital airs. And those are also born out of the rajasic manifestation of the five elements.
Okay.
So the rajasic manifestation forms the karmendriyas and the panchapranas.
Okay, I think I've got it here. Pranas stands for respiratory function.
Okay.
The apana is the excretion. Vyana is the circulation part.
Okay.
Samana is the digestion. And udana is... I think the letting out of air, which is not belching and the other kind of letting out of the air. It's okay. Something like a reverse process.
Exhalation.
Yeah, it's an exhalation, you could say. A means of exhaling the unwanted air. So these are the five things, and from what Swami said, and as you said, you know, that was one of the confusions we had, where Swami is saying the collective functioning of the five elements in their rajasic aspect express itself as the life force.
Correct.
In fact, it is not the life force, it is pranas.
Prana.
The five pranas, actually.
Yes.
And then I think Swami went on to that part of how each of these elements came together to, in different combinations to produce the other, you know, the panchakritam, Swami says, the fusion.
Panchakritam.
The fusion through permutations and combinations of all these.
That is the tamasic manifestation of this.
Right, and the grossest part, how it came by.
But what they actually form, Swami has not told, right?
Right, I think Swami is not saying that. He is just saying, talking about the 16 kalas, how half of one element mixes with 1/8 part of each of the other elements. And I think I don't really understand how Swami is saying that. Swami is saying that so each one of you is actually... a collection of 16 attributes.
Correct.
And then Swami says that every avatar is also a person who comes down with 16 attributes.
Shodashakala.
Right. And Swami is saying that that is why you are not any different from God.
Yes. But that is very clear that he says pancha karmendriyas, pancha gyanendriyas, then the five elements and the mind.
And the mind.
So he says these are the 16 kalas that...
But as you said, Swami is not exactly telling which of these... is formed by combination of what?
Yeah, right? Well, the tamasic manifestation, we don't know what it forms, but they exist as a combination of the elements. So, in the combination of these elements, I don't know what they form. Maybe we should read up a little bit.
Right.
So, with that, Swami ended the last sentence, if I remember correctly, of the clip we played. He says, the problem... of today's world is because man is having too many desires. So with that word desires, we concluded the last clip of the discourse.
Right. In fact, you know, one point which Swami makes in the beginning, you know, which may be connected to this distantly, I think that's where Swami is saying that going outward and going inward.
Okay.
And I think there Swami makes this point of, you know, you are actually going after something which is a combination of so many things. And that is why you're getting deluded.
Oh, okay.
And I think that is where this point of Swami saying that man is facing all these problems because he's having too many desires. They're going outward, going by what is seen. I think...
I remember that thing. He's... The karmendriyas are... Basically what he says is, the jnanendriyas are used by the karmendriyas for satisfying their wants and desires.
Right, right.
So, the sanctity of the jnanendriyas, that is the faculty of sight, in smelling, shabda sparsha rupa rasa gandha, the sanctity of that lies in utilizing it for the highest purpose. But you are utilizing it for outward satisfaction of desires.
Right. In fact, I've got the sentence that Swami said. Mm-hmm. Swami says, man should aspire not for a long life, but for a divine life.
Correct.
So when you're looking for a long and a healthy life, you will look at all, setting all these things aright. Mm-hmm. For comforts, for health, and for all these things. Mm-hmm. Swami is saying that don't look for that, look for a divine life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is where Swami brings in the idea of desires.
Mm-hmm.
That when you're looking for a long, comfortable and happy and pleasurable life, it's when you're going external and the desires aspect come in.
Okay.
Anyway, I think we'll, instead of speculating too much, we'll see what Swami has to say about the desires aspect and how they come into these play of three gunas.
ఈ అధిష్టములు కూడాను క్రమక్రమేణ కూడాను మితిమీరిపోతూ వచ్చాయి.
ఈవెన్ దీస్ డిజైర్స్ గ్రాడ్యువల్లీ బికమ్ ఎక్సెసివ్, అవుట్ ఆఫ్ లిమిట్స్.
ఈ పంచభూతములకు సంబంధించినటువంటి యొక్క వాంఛలు అత్యవసరమే.
ఇట్ ఈస్ నెసెసరీ టు హ్యావ్ డిజైర్స్ అసోసియేటెడ్ విత్ ఫైవ్ ఎలిమెంట్స్.
ఇవి క్రమక్రమేణ మితిమీరిపోవటం చేత మతిభ్రమణ జరిగింది.
బట్ అన్ అకౌంట్ ఆఫ్ ఎక్సీడింగ్ ఆల్ లిమిట్స్ దేర్ ఈస్ సర్టన్ అమౌంట్ ఆఫ్ కన్ఫ్యూజన్.
ప్రతి ఒక్కటి అప్పటికప్పటికే ఫలితం లభించాలి.
హీ వాంట్స్ ఇమ్మీడియట్ రిజల్ట్స్, స్పాంటేనియస్
కాలం కోసం కూడా తాను కాచుకోడు.
హీఈస్ నాట్ ప్రిపేర్డ్ టు వెయిట్ ఈవెన్ ఫర్ ఎ మూమెంట్.
త్రికాల స్వరూపమైనటువంటిది ఈ త్రిగుణము.
ఆల్ దీస్ త్రీ క్వాలిటీస్ ఆర్ అసోసియేటెడ్ విత్ త్రీ టైమ్స్.
ఈ కాలం వచ్చిందంటే ఏది కూడాను ఎవరు కూడాను ఆపడానికి వీలు కాదు.
వెన్ ది టైమ్ కమ్స్ నో వన్ కెన్ స్టాప్.
పోకన్మానదు దేహం ఎవ్విధము నన్ను పోషించి రక్షించినను, రాకన్మానవు హాని వృద్ధులు మహారణ్యము నన్ను దాగినను.
వాట్ ఎవర్ కేర్ అండ్ ప్రొటెక్షన్ యూ టేక్ టు ద బాడీ, ఎ డే కమ్స్ వెన్ దిస్ బాడీ విల్ హావ్ టు గో అండ్ యూ కెన్ నెవర్ ఎస్కేప్ ఫ్రమ్ ది ఓల్డ్ ఏజ్, డిసీజ్ అండ్ సచ్ అదర్ థింగ్.
కానీ ఈ సత్యాన్ని గుర్తించకూడను వ్యక్తులు ఏదో ఆతృత పడుతుంటారు. అక్కడికి పోతే తప్పుతుందో ఏమో మా ప్రమాదము, ఇక్కడ ఉంటే నాకు లభిస్తుందో ఏమో ఆదాయము అని అనుకుంటుంటారు.
ఆఫ్టర్ నోయింగ్ ఆల్ దీస్ థింగ్స్ స్టిల్ మ్యాన్ గెట్స్ డెల్యూడెడ్ ఇఫ్ ఐ గో టు దట్ పర్టికులర్ ప్లేస్ ఐ మే అవాయిడ్ డేంజర్.
వచ్చేది రాక తప్పదు.
వేర్ ఎవర్ యు గో వాట్ హ్యాస్ టు హ్యాపెన్ విల్ హ్యాపెన్.
పురుష ప్రయత్నం అత్యవసరం.
బట్ హ్యూమన్ ఎఫర్ట్ ఈజ్ స్టిల్ ఎసెన్షియల్.
ఉండాది తట్టలో పొటాటో చపాతి.
దేర్ ఈస్ పొటాటో అండ్ చపాతి ఇన్ ద
లభించింది.
And you have got it now.
కానీ తట్టలో ఉండేటువంటి పొట్టలు ఎక్కి చేరాలంటే నోటికి చేతికి పని పెట్టాలి. ఇదే పురుష ప్రయత్నం.
ఇన్ ఆర్డర్ దట్ ఇట్ గోస్ ఇన్ టు ద స్టమక్ యు హావ్ టు గివ్ వర్క్ ఫార్ యువర్ మౌత్ అండ్ హ్యాండ్. దట్ ఈస్ పురుష ప్రయత్న, ది ఎఫర్ట్ ఆఫ్ మ్యాన్.
కలియుగ ప్రభావం చేత,
అన్ అకౌంట్ ఆఫ్ ది ఇంపాక్ట్ ఆఫ్ కలి,
కోరికల యొక్క బలము చేత,
అన్ అకౌంట్ ఆఫ్ ది ఇంపాక్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఎక్సెసివ్ డిజైర్స్,
మానవత్వాన్ని విస్మరించి,
giving up the human nature,
adishta jeevitanni abhilashinchi,
and he is aspiring to have
atyanta unnata sthayiki povalani cheppindi, ati shigranga povalani shortcut kosam prayatnam chestunnadu.
Man is trying to find a shortcut to reach the highest level very shortly in a narrow way.
Shortcut chala twaraga cherachu anukuntaru.
You one thinks but by shortcut one can reach very fast.
Chudadaniki distance daggariga kanipistundi.
To see the distance appears to be very short.
Kani aa shortcut lopala aneka raallu mundu kampalu aneka rakamainatundi baadalato koodi untuntadi.
But if one wants to go through shortcut there are innumerable problems.
Ivanni tappinchukoni aa yokka main road ku cheradaniki ni మెయిన్ రోడ్ లో ఇప్పుడు దానికంటే నాలుగింతలు అధికమైనప్పటికీ అది సులభంగా నడిచి అందులో చేరడానికి టైం ఒక్కటే అవుతుంది.
ది టైం టేకన్ టు గో ఇన్ ది మెయిన్ రోడ్ అండ్ ది షార్ట్ కట్ ఈస్ వన్ అండ్ ది సేమ్ బికాస్ అవర్ ట్రాలీ హ్యాస్ టు ఫేస్ సో మెనీ ప్రాబ్లమ్స్ గోయింగ్ ఇన్ ద షార్ట్ కట్. ఇఫ్ హి గోస్ ఇన్ ద మెయిన్ రోడ్ హీ విల్ నాట్ ఫేస్ ఆల్ దోస్ ప్రాబ్లమ్స్.
కానీ మానవుడు ఏదో ఒక త్వరగా చేరేటువంటి ఒక స్థానాన్ని మార్గాన్ని వెతుకుతూ వస్తుంటాడు.
బట్ మ్యాన్ ఈస్ టెంప్టెడ్ టు ఫైండ్ ఏ షార్ట్ కట్ ఆల్ ద సేమ్.
ఇది సరి అయినటువంటిది కాదు.
బట్ దిస్ ఈజ్ నాట్ కరెక్ట్.
దూరం అయినప్పటికీ మంచి రాజమార్గంలో మనం ప్రవేశించాలి.
ఈవెన్ ది డిస్టెన్స్ ఈజ్ మోర్ బెటర్ ఫాలో ది రైట్ రాయల్ పాత్.
ఇక్కడ ఒక చిన్న ఉదాహరణ ఉంటుండాలి.
హియర్ ఈజ్ అ స్మాల్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్.
స్వర్గమునకు పోయేటువంటి యొక్క రోడ్డు చాలా చిన్నదిగా ఉంటాదట.
ఇట్ ఈస్ సెడ్ దట్ ది రోడ్ లీడింగ్ టు హెవెన్ ఈజ్ వెరీ వెరీ నారో.
నరకమునకు పోయేటువంటి రోడ్డు చాలా పెద్దదిగా కనిపిస్తుంటాదట.
ది రోడ్ లీడింగ్ టు హెల్ ఇట్ అపియర్స్ ఇస్ వెరీ బ్రాడ్ అండ్ వైడ్.
ఇంత పెద్ద రోడ్డు మెయిన్ రోడ్డుగా ఉంటుంటుండాలి. ఇది ట్రంక్ రోడ్డుగా ఉంటుండాలి. దీనికి ఇంత పెద్ద రోడ్డు ఎందుకు? భగవంతుని దగ్గర పోవడానికి ఇంత చిన్న రోడ్డు ఎందుకు అని మనం ప్రశ్నించవచ్చును. మన యొక్క బుద్ధిని అనుసరించి,
ఆన్ ది బేసిస్ ఆఫ్ అవర్ ఓన్ లిమిటెడ్ అండర్స్టాండింగ్ వి పుట్ ఏ క్వశ్చన్, హౌ ఇస్ ఇట్ దట్ దేర్ ఇస్ సచ్ ఎ నారో రోడ్ లీడింగ్ టు గాడ్, సచ్ ఎ బ్రాడ్ ట్రంక్ రోడ్ లీడింగ్ టు
భగవంతుని యొక్క సృష్టి. అనేక రకములైనటువంటి యొక్క విచారణ సలిపి వివేక భావంతో విజ్ఞాన హృదయముతో విశాల తత్వముతో నేర్పరిచినటువంటివి.
God's creation is done on the basis of comprehensive thinking, total wisdom and full understanding.
నరకమునకు పోయేటువంటి వారు లక్షలు లక్షల మంది, వీళ్ళందరికీ నడచడానికి పెద్ద రోడ్డు కావాలి.
Lakhs of people want to go to hell. There is a need for a very broad road so that so many lakhs of people.
నరకమునకు పోయేటువంటి వారు ఏ ఒకరో ఇద్దరో నూటికి ఒక్కరో కోటికి ఒక్కరు, వారికి పెద్ద రోడ్డు అవసరం లేదు, చిన్న రోడ్లోనే వెళ్ళొచ్చు.
1 in 100 or 1 in 1 crore are likely to go to heaven, therefore a narrow road is sufficient for them.
Adi vidhamgane bhagavantudu prati okkati kudanu tana yokka sankalpamlo yoga cheemam vahamyaham annitiki yokka cheemanni gurinchini nimittamai anni rakamainaatundi srushtini aacharistuntadu,
wishing the welfare of the entire creation. God would have taken appropriate steps for their welfare in his creation.
Oka bhaktudu తాను శ్రీమంతుడు కావాలని ఆశించి లక్ష్మీదేవిని ప్రార్థిస్తూ వచ్చాడు.
వన్ డివోటీ ఆస్పైరింగ్ టు బికమ్ రిచ్ అండ్ వెల్తీ ప్రేయర్ టు గాడెస్ లక్ష్మీ.
భౌతిక వాంఛలు నెరవేర్చుకునే నిమిత్తమై భక్తుడు ఎంతటి శ్రమలకైనా ఓర్చుకుంటాడు.
మ్యాన్ ఈస్ ప్రిపేర్డ్ టు అండర్గో ఎనీ ట్రబుల్స్,
ఎన్ని కష్టములైనా సహిస్తాడు.
హీఈస్ ప్రిపేర్డ్ టు బేర్ ఎనీ డిఫికల్టీ,
ఎన్ని నిందల నిష్ఠూరములకైనా గురి అవుతాడు.
He is prepared to bear any criticism, censure and condemnation.
పారమార్థిక మార్గమునకు ప్రయత్నించేటువంటి భక్తుడు ఏ చిన్న కష్టం జరిగినా కూడాను తాను భరించుకోలేడు.
But for a person who is aspiring to go to a spiritual path, he is not prepared to bear even a small difficulty.
దీనిని పట్టి భౌతిక వాంఛలపైన మానవునకు అమితమైనటువంటి అభిమానం ఉంటుండాలి.
The meaning of this is that man has unlimited desire for physical comforts and happiness.
ee bhaktudu lakshmi katacham kosamani gara ghoramaina tapas chesadu papa.
He did very rigorous penance aspiring to have the grace of lakshmi.
Lakshmi pratyakshamaindi.
Lakshmi appeared before him.
Nayana neekeem kavali?
What do you want, child? She asked.
Neeve kavali talli annadu.
I want you, mother. He said,
అయితే నేను సర్వాలంకార భూషితురాలనై నీ వెంటనే వస్తాను, నీవు ముందు నడుచు.
విత్ ఆల్ ద జ్యూయల్స్ పుట్ ఆన్ మీ ఐ విల్ ఫాలో యూ, యూ గో ఫస్ట్, ఐ విల్ బిహైండ్ యూ.
నీ ఇంటికి వచ్చి ఈ యొక్క నగలన్నింటినీ నీకు అక్కడ విసర్జించి వస్తాను నేను.
ఐ విల్ కమ్ విత్ యూ అప్ టు యువర్ హోమ్, లీవ్ ఆల్ దీస్ జ్యువెలరీ విత్ యూ అండ్ దెన్ గో బ్యాక్.
కానీ అక్కడ ఒక్క నియమాన్ని మాత్రం పాటించాలని కోరింది ఆమె.
She said, but you have to observe one important condition.
Nee mundu maatrame vellu, venukuku maatram tirigi choodakoodadu. Venuku tirigi chustiva nenu akkade nichipothanani satyame cheppindi paapam.
She told the truth and that condition is you should be always looking to the front. You should not look back. If you look back, I'll stay still there itself. I'll not
ananda hrudayudai ullasamato urukutunnadu munduku eppudeppudu nenu intiki poi chertanani.
He was full of joy, overwhelmed with joy. He was thinking, when would I be able to reach my home?
పోయేటప్పటికి చాలా శబ్దాలిస్తుండాలి ఈమె. ఏ ఏ నగలు ధరించిందో ఏమిటో చూడాలని ఒక్క తూరికి వెనక్కి తిరిగి చూచాడు.
After going a little distance, there is so much of sound which is produced by the jewelry. Let me have a look. What type of jewelry she is wearing? He turned behind. Look at this man. He did not have patience until he reached home. The moment he turned back, she stood still. She did not go.
Can you see?
This
anugrahanni pondi kudanu tanu anubhavinchalekapothunnadu.
The result of this excessive greed is, even after obtaining, he has not been able to enjoy it.
కనుక భగవత్ అనుగ్రహం అనేటువంటిది నిండుగా దండిగా ఉండినప్పటికీ అనుభవించేటువంటి యొక్క శక్తిని కూడా మనం సంపాదించాలి.
గాడ్స్ గ్రేస్ ఈజ్ ఓవర్ ఫ్లోయింగ్ ఫుల్ అండ్ కంప్లీట్ బట్ ఈవెన్ టు ఎంజాయ్ గాడ్స్ గ్రేస్ వన్ షుడ్ బి రియలీ ఫార్చునేట్.
అది అనుభవించేటువంటి శక్తిని మనం సంపాదించుకోవాలంటే ఆజ్ఞను పాలించాలి.
ఇఫ్ యు రియలీ వాంట్ టు ఎర్న్ ది కెపాసిటీ టు ఎంజాయ్ గాడ్స్ గ్రేస్ implicitly obey God's command.
ఆ లక్ష్మి యొక్క ఆజ్ఞను సరిగా పాలించింటే ఆ లక్ష్మి తనకు వచ్చి చేరిండేటువంటిది కదా.
ఇఫ్ ఓన్లీ హెడ్ ఫాలోడ్ ది కమాండ్ ఆఫ్ లక్ష్మి, షీ వుడ్ హావ్ కమ్ టు ద హోమ్ అండ్ గాట్ ఆల్ ది జ్యువెలరీ.
ఆజ్ఞను మీరటం చేతనే లభించినటువంటి లక్ష్మిని కూడా నువ్వు కోల్పోయాడు.
ఆన్ అకౌంట్ ఆఫ్ వయలేషన్ ఆఫ్ అవర్ కమాండ్ హీ లాస్ట్ వాట్ హీ గెయిన్డ్ బై అవర్ గ్రేస్.
లోకం యొక్క స్థితి ఈ రకంగా ఉంటుంటాయి.
ది సిచ్యుయేషన్ ఇన్ ద వరల్డ్ ఈస్ ద సేమ్.
So that's the first discourse, the first clip of that discourse for today.
That's beautiful, you know, that story is so apt. And just thinking of the five, thinking of the three gunas and thinking of the story and of desires that Swami is speaking on. I'm just wondering what Swami is trying to say, that what we were discussing is that the instruments or the elements that form our karmendriyas and gyanendriyas are used for satisfying the desires of the mind. Is that right?
I think, yeah, in a sense, right.
Because I think it's the mind that wants.
Because that's what Swami says, that the senses by themselves are only unifunctional. They cannot do anything. But that which actually asks the senses to, you know, indulge more or give it more of that particular input is the antakarnas, or the mind and the aspects
of
the
basically
mind.
What you are saying is antakarna also holds chitta, that is the memory.
Right.
So basically your wants and your desires are driven by memories.
Right. You, vasanas.
Vasanas. You want something. So you want a candy, you want a chocolate because you have had it before and you know that it's good to have it. You like the taste. So you are pursuing something and trying to get it based on your desires.
Right.
On your memories.
Right.
Sorry. Your desires are born because of your memories. And maybe you can extend it to the fact and say that your fears are born out of bad memories.
Right.
You know, your desires are born out of good memories. Your fears are born out of bad memories. So in a sense, the moment you transcend your desires and fears, then you're there.
And in fact, you know, the story which Swami says here is very important in that. You know, here are two contradictory memory impulses, let's say.
Okay.
One is the impulse to turn back and see, to make sure that the wealth is following. Okay, I think that is the story here. To make sure that wealth is coming, I mean, I've almost got it, I should not miss it. And the other is to obey. So Swami is saying that if you are able to make that, that impulse to obey divinity stronger, let's say for us it's Swami, then you can even overrule some of the other strong desires in you. Maybe that is what Swami is mentioning here. That yes, you have some vasanas, you have some traits, but place this as the topmost priority.
Correct.
Of listening to God.
Yes, yes.
And then you will be able to overrule all the other, desires which are there.
Another very interesting corollary from this story is, when he was walking and when Goddess Lakshmi was actually following him, that wealth is already his.
Right.
Okay. So what he should do is he should continue walking with the faith and the self-confidence that the wealth is already mine. But samshayatma vinashyati, the moment he gets the doubt, is it really there? Is it mine? He loses it all. So similarly, when Swami says you are God, you go about your life, the wealth here is signified by Goddess Lakshmi, but you know, the wealth of wisdom, the wealth of understanding, everything is Lakshmi. And so you go about your life with the 100% confidence that you, that Lakshmi is yours, that you have everything within you, that everything is you. The moment you get doubt and look back, then Lakshmi decides to take a break.
Very true. I mean, just rephrasing whatever you said, all of us have many desires, you know, many things which we want to fulfill. But what was Swami always addressing us as? Prema Swarupala.
Prema Swarupala.
Your embodiments of love. And if you really believe that, as you're saying, that, you know, with complete faith, Shraddhavan Labhate Jnanam, completely believe that I am love, and then going back to that description that love is that which does not try to possess, then there is the question of desires. You cannot account for both, you know, in the same place.
You know, the starting of this clip, Swami is talking about time. He says time is everything. Yes, the body is young, the body is old, it will go. And so don't pursue, you know, excessive desires. And then he brings this important point that man's effort is important.
Right.
Now, if you place this concept of man's effort in the context of the story, what is the effort that man has to make? The only effort he has to make is that he should not have a doubt. Correct, no? The only effort that this man had to make in the context of the story is that, no, I will not have a doubt. I will go ahead with this self-confidence. So the moment he lost, didn't make that effort, and he lost his concentration and confidence, the moment he got a doubt, he has lost it.
So, right, and the other thing is, you know, especially when Swami is talking about the effort here, many times whenever Swami is talking about self-effort, especially Swami is talking about karma, Swami would raise this point, what is not karma? Your breathing isn't that karma. Even as you are sitting still, your heart is beating. Is that not karma?
Correct.
So we generally say effort is that which is done consciously.
Consciously, yes.
But the fact is you cannot escape from karma. You're always doing. And you know, that is the mistake which we generally often do. When we want to resign to divine will, we think that we can escape from action or effort.
No.
Which is not allowed. You know, just this morning somebody was sharing, there were some school teachers from the school. Swami called them for an interview and they said, Swami, we have not married. We have taken to a spiritual path to lead a spiritual life. But you have put us in a school where we have to take care of 1,000 little children. From taking care of 2 children at home, we have ended up you know, taking care of 1,000 children. And where is this so-called, you know, sannyasa which we thought we will get? Okay, and then Swami, it seems, gave them a good sound, you know, dressed down, and Swami said, this is not how you will reach. Go and serve those children. Okay, and this is samsara. Swami said, this is samsara. I am putting you in samsara. Go and do that effort. Without this effort, you will not get. If you look at this situation, you know, more than effort, you tend to think that running away from effort can give you the license to go to inaction. But with Swami, that is never the case.
Never the case. True.
Swami is saying you have only the right to give up
doership.
Doership. But not doing.
Yes, you are bound by action. Anybody, even the avatar himself is bound by action. When he takes a human form, he says, I am not name parthasti kartavyam trishulokeshu kinchana nana vaptam avaptavyam vartayavacha karmani. I am not bound by action in all the 3 worlds. But I still engage myself in action just to set an example to people.
And that's what so beautifully Swami puts it. Love without duty is divine.
Divine. Beautiful. Yes.
You know, there's no compulsion. There's no compulsion for me to come and do this. But I just do it.
Correct.
I mean, it just happens. Literally.
Then, you know, going on to the next part of the clip, there is this beautiful thing where Swami says how the road to heaven is so narrow and the road to hell is like a highway, because thousands and millions go. But in a way, if you look at it, what is heaven and hell? Heaven is when you have reached a state of complete and constant bliss and, you know, awareness. And then hell is when you're still going up and down with desires and wants. But you know, just thinking of this, an image comes to my mind of all the ancient temples in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how beautifully they built the architecture of the temple was all based on the ultimate truth.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to the temples, outside on the Gopuram and outside on the pillars, there are sculptures showing all aspects of life. So there is various vocations or the various works that people do.
Right.
Then there are scenes of family life. Then there are scenes of children. There are scenes of courts. There are scenes of musicians. Everything is there on the periphery. Then when you go deeper inside, then the variety comes down. And you start getting, images and sculptures of gods and the vehicles of gods. But the actual path to the sanctum sanctorum is very narrow. You know, just like the path to heaven is very, very narrow and it's a very thin road.
It's enough space for sightseeing. But if you're going to the deity, then...
Exactly. So what it in a way conveys is you leave all this behind. When you are going towards God, when you are going closer to God, when you are going to the sanctum sanctorum, leave everything behind. Yes, there is life, there is family life, there is your different actions that you are doing, your work that you are doing. Because the Gopuram and the sculptures, they show all sorts of activity. The darbars and the musicians, everything is shown. So leave all that behind you. Forget all that. Concentrate only on God. And then the path is made narrower and narrower and narrower. And then, only the lamp reveals right. The figure of the main deity in the temple. And I think it's all done with so much of meaning and significance. So what would happen is, I think one of the discourses Swami says, don't underestimate the importance of Puranas or stories. You know, our ancients knew the ultimate truth, but in its physical manifestation, you know, they built temples that drive you towards understanding this truth. They gave stories through Puranas that help you to understand the truth, but the truth remains the same.
And even that idea of, you know, as you said, it's only lit by lamps.
Yes.
Little lamps, and it's very dim lit.
Mm.
And most often you wouldn't be able to see that the idol completely.
Mm.
And then when they do the aarti, they will show. Mm. I think recently went to one of these temples where they've still maintained it that way.
Mm.
They have not put any electrical lights inside.
Correct.
And as the aarti is going on, the pujari actually explains what
Correct.
Each aspect of the deity means. What
Correct.
Is in the left hand, what is in the right hand.
Mm.
Who is it who is beside him.
Mm.
You know, it's a Narasimha Swami temple.
Mm.
And he said, look at the claws, okay, because it is there for Bhakta Rakshana.
Mm.
And look at this, this is for this, this is for this. It is actually in the shloka itself, but he was putting it in the mundane language and he was explaining it to people.
Mm.
And if you look at it, you know, aarti is something which is given at the end of the worship.
Mm.
And that itself gives the idea that when you do upasana, when you do worship of God, then God will reveal himself to you.
Mm.
And what is done at the end of worship is aarti, and that aarti actually reveals God to you little by little by little.
Beautiful. But there's another aspect which comes to my mind. Swami says you travel, you go all the way to a pilgrimage center, you go through Bullakat bus travel, you go all the way there. You stand in front of the idol and you close your eyes. Isn't that true? I mean, you go through all the hardships. Okay, Vaishnav Devi. You have to really climb the hill. You go all the way there. You're in front of the idol. But then why do you close your eyes? Why does it happen naturally? Because you are supposed to see God within you. That same God who is present outside you in the form of the Vigraha is inside you as well. So it's amazing. You go all the way there and then you close your eyes. Because when you bow, you have to see him within you.
Right. It's like this. I remember once a friend of mine was traveling somewhere and he had this bag with him in which he had his passport and he was searching for it and he was not able to find it.
Okay.
Okay. And he was in this crowded bus and he was searching for it and he was not able to find it.
Mm.
So he was a little tense, you know, is it really there? So then after the bus halted at the bus stand, he got down, he came to a corner where there was nobody, okay, and the same bag, and he searched calmly and he found it.
That's
okay,
true.
The same bag was with him in the bus, the same bag is in his solitude. So it is almost like though you are finding God within only, you need some kind of a peaceful atmosphere where it will enable you to find the God who is within. And see, that is what pilgrim centers actually provide.
Exactly. And you, the more and more you go towards the sanctum sanctorum, you're cutting out everything. You're leaving behind everything else. You are leaving out even the light.
Right.
Because many sanctum sanctorums are very dark. Because they don't want you to get distracted by anything else. Especially Tirupati, if you go, that last stretch is lit only with lamps. There is no electrical light inside. So, you know, you're made to focus only on him. And then you go right, stand right in front of him and close your eyes. So, that's really the beauty of the whole. It's, in a way, it's the greatest paradox.
So, shall we go to the next clip?
Yes, I think
this goes.
Lokamanta kudanu, sattva rajota mogunamani yokka prabhavamai untundali.
The world is full of these gunas, sattva rajota and tamogunas.
ఈ సత్వరజోతమో గుణముల యొక్క సృష్టి కూడాను మన యొక్క దృష్టి ఎందుకు చేరి ఉంటుండాలి.
ఈవెన్ అవర్ విజన్ ఈజ్ పర్మియేటెడ్ బై దీస్ త్రీ క్వాలిటీస్ సత్వ రజ అండ్ తమ.
మన దృష్టి మన నేత్రం చూడండి చక్కగా పరిశీలన చేసి.
వాచ్ యువర్ ఓన్ ఐ
మొట్టమొదట కొసలేకొస్తానే రెడ్ కలర్ ఇదే రజోగుణం.
ఇన్ ది బార్డర్ యు హావ్ గాట్ ద రెడ్ కలర్ దట్ రిప్రజెంట్స్ రజోగుణ.
అది దాటుతానే సాత్వికము.
Once you cross that, there is
sattvam. ఆ సాత్వికులకు మధ్యలో ఒకళ్ళే రాజసికం ఉంటుంది, తామసికం ఉంటుండాలి.
అండ్ దెన్ ఇన్ ది సెంటర్ దెర్ ఇస్ తమో గుణ.
అదే నలుపు.
దట్ ఈస్ బ్లాక్.
కనుక తెలుపు, ఎరుపు, నలుపు ఈ మూడింటి యొక్క గుణములు మూడు కూడా మన దృష్టి ఎందుకు కూడా ఉంటున్నాయి.
You can see the qualities and the colors associated with the qualities, whiteness, redness and blackness, all these are represented in the eye also and in the vision also.
దైవం అంటే ఎక్కడ ఉన్నాడు, ఎట్ల ఉంటాడు అని విచారణ చేస్తే మనకు ప్రత్యక్ష స్వరూపకంగా ప్రకృతియే మనకు ఆన్సర్ ఇస్తుంటుండాలి.
If you ask a question, where does God stay, nature gives the appropriate answer.
సూర్యోదయము, సూర్యాస్తం కలుగుతుండాలి.
The sunrise and sunset may be observed.
ఈ సూర్యోదయ సూర్యాస్తముల వల్ల దినములు ఏర్పడుతున్నాయి.
ద డే ఈజ్ ఫార్మ్డ్ బై ది డాన్ అండ్ ద డస్క్.
ఈ దినముల వల్ల నెలలు, నెలల వల్ల సంవత్సరములు జరుగుతున్నాయి.
బై దిస్ ప్రాసెస్ డేస్, మంత్స్ అండ్ ఇయర్స్ ఆర్ ఫార్మ్డ్.
ఇది జరగడానికి కారణమేమిటి?
వాట్ ఈస్ ది బేసిస్ ఆఫ్ దిస్?
భూమి తన చుట్టూ తాను గంటకు 1000 మైళ్ల వేగంతో నడుపుతూ ఉండాలి.
The earth rotates round itself at the speed of 1000 miles per hour.
భూమి తన చుట్టూ తాను మాత్రమే గంటకు 1000 మైళ్ల వేగంతో తిరుగుతూ ఉంటుండాలి.
ఇట్ ఈస్ గోయింగ్ రౌండ్ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ అట్ ద స్పీడ్ ఆఫ్ 1000 మైల్స్ పర్ అవర్.
తిరగటం చేతనే సూర్యోదయం సూర్యాస్తములు జరుగుతున్నాయి.
ఆన్ అకౌంట్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ మూవ్మెంట్ సన్ రైజ్ అండ్ సన్సెట్.
కేవలం సూర్యోదయం సూర్యాస్తములు జరిగినంత మాత్రం మనకు లభించేటువంటి ఫలితం ఏమిటి?
What is it that you are going to achieve by the sunrise and sunset?
Kari Bhagavat yokka sankalpam chala vishalamainatundi.
But God's will is rather.
Evaru dinini artham cheskoleru.
No one would be able to understand.
Ade bhoomi tirigi suryuni chuttu kudanu gantaku 66000 mile vegamto tirugutundadi.
The same earth is revolving round the sun at the speed of 66000 miles per hour.
Chusam tana chuttu taanu 1000 మైళ్ళు గంటకు తిరుగుతూ ఉంటే సూర్యుని చుట్టూ 66000 మైళ్ళు తిరుగుతుంటుండాలి.
When it is going round itself at the speed of 1000 miles an hour, it is going round the sun at the speed of 66000.
సూర్యుని చుట్టూ తిరగటం వల్ల ఏమైపోతుంది? అది ఋతువులు ఏర్పడుతున్నాయి.
On account of the movement of earth around the sun, seasons are formed.
ఈ ఋతువుల వల్ల వర్షములు లభిస్తున్నాయి, పంటలు పండుతుండాలి, వంటకు ఏమి తక్కువ లేకుండా ఉంటుండాలి.
On account of the formation of seasons, there is rain, crops and food for partaking by the man.
Kaluka mana yokka aahara viharamulaku ee yokka bhoomi yokka tattvamu enta upakaranga untundali.
the nature and the way that earth rotates itself is giving us food. How useful it is for us.
Idiye pratyaksha devam.
This is the pratyaksha, the direct God.
Prachanna pichana pasyati moodho anindi vedam. Pasyanna pichana pasyati moodho. Neevu bhagavantunni chustu kudanu. నేను చూడలేదు 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 అనుకుంటున్నావు. చాలా పొరపాటు. ఈ ప్రకృతియే పరమాత్మ స్వరూపం.
యు ఆర్ సీయింగ్ గాడ్ బట్ టెలింగ్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్ దట్ యుర్ నాట్ సీయింగ్ గాడ్ అట్ ఆల్. దిస్ నేచర్ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ ఇస్ గాడ్. ఇఫ్ యు సే దట్ ఇట్ ఇస్ ఎ బిగ్ మిస్టేక్.
ప్రకృతి వల్ల మనం గుర్తించవలసినటువంటిది ఏమిటి? క్రియాశీలత.
వాట్ ఈస్ ఇట్ దట్ యుల్ హావ్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ త్రూ నేచర్ అండ్ దట్ ఈస్ ద ఇంటిగ్రిటీ ఆఫ్ యాక్షన్.
మన కర్తవ్యాన్ని మనం నిర్వర్తించాలి.
That means we should discharge our duties.
Prakruti tana kartavyanni tane paatistuntu chetane inta pavitramainatundi jagatruku upakaram cheyagalugutundali.
As nature discharges its duties meticulously, it has been able to confer so many benefits on man.
Kanukune srishti yokka rahasyamu kartavyacharane.
Discharging one's duties is the secret and mystery of creation.
ఏ కర్మలో నీవు ప్రవేశిస్తున్నావో ఆ కర్మను నీవు శ్రద్ధాభక్తితో చేయి.
వాట్ ఎవర్ యాక్షన్ యూ హావ్ టు పర్ఫార్మ్ డూ ఇట్ విత్ ఫుల్ హార్ట్ అండ్ ఫుల్ ఇంట్రెస్ట్.
అంతేకాని మానవు ఏదో సుఖించాలి 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 ఈ సుఖము కోసమని అనేక రకమైనటువంటి పెడ మార్గములు పడుతున్నాడు.
ఇన్ ఆర్డర్ టు ఆస్పైర్ టు హ్యావ్ జాయ్ అండ్ హ్యాపీనెస్ he is going on the wrong path.
ఈ ఆధునిక యుగమునందు,
in the modern age,
ఆంగ్ల విద్యా ప్రభావమునందు,
on account of the impact of western education,
విద్యార్థుల యొక్క తత్వములు,
the principles which should be followed by
విద్యావంతుల యొక్క ప్రభావములు,
the influence of the educated people,
వికార మార్గాన్ని అనుసరిస్తున్నాయి.
All these things are going on the wrong path.
మీకందరికీ తెలుసు.
All of you know this.
అనేక మంది అధికారులు ఆఫీసుకు వెళుతుంటారు. ధనవంతులు తమ తమ యొక్క ఆఫీసులకు తాము పోతుంటారు. తమ తమ పనులు తాము చేస్తుంటారు. ఏదో పెద్ద శ్రమ పడి వచ్చినట్టుగా ఇంటికి వస్తారు.
ఆఫీస్ ఇట్ ఇస్ మై ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ ఆఫీసర్స్ గో టు దర్ ఆఫీసర్స్ వర్క్ దేర్. ద ఇండస్ట్రియలిస్ట్ అండ్ వెల్తీ పీపుల్ గో టు దర్ బిజినెస్ ప్లేసెస్ అండ్ వర్క్ దేర్. దే థింక్ యాజ్ దే హావ్ అకాంప్లిష్డ్ సంథింగ్.
మాకు సుఖం లేదు, శాంతి లేదు, ఈ ఆఫీసు పనులు చేసి మా వ్యాపార పనులు చేసి మా కర్తవ్య కర్మలు ఆచరించి మాకు ఏమాత్రము సుఖము శాంతి లేకుండా ఉంటుండాలని ఆపోతుంటారు.
దేర్ కంప్లైంట్ ఈస్ దే గో టు ద ఆఫీసర్స్ వర్క్ సో హార్డ్ బట్ దేర్ ఇస్ నో హ్యాపీనెస్ నో పీస్ అండ్ దే ఫీల్.
ఇంటికి వచ్చి హ్యాపీ నిమిత్తమై తమ డ్రెస్సులు తాము విసర్జించి ఇంకొక డ్రెస్సులు సేకరించి క్లబ్లకు వెళ్తారు.
దే కమ్ హోమ్ చేంజ్ దేర్ డ్రెస్ ఇన్ ఆర్డర్ టు గెట్ హ్యాపీనెస్ దే గో టు క్లబ్.
దేనికోసం వెళుతున్నారు? పీస్ ఆఫ్ మైండ్, హ్యాపీ కోసం, సంతోషం కోసం పోతున్నాం. కొంచెం రెస్ట్ కావాలి.
వై ఆర్ దే గోయింగ్ టు క్లబ్? క్లబ్ విల్ గివ్ దెమ్ హ్యాపీనెస్. ఇట్ విల్ గివ్ దెమ్ ఎ లిటిల్ రిలాక్సేషన్.
నిజంగా అక్కడ హ్యాపీ ఉన్నదా? నిజంగా అక్కడ శాంతి ఉన్నదా? నిజంగా అక్కడ సుఖమున్నదా?
ట్రూలీ స్పీకింగ్ డూ యూ గెట్ హ్యాపీనెస్? డూ యూ గెట్ పీస్? డూ యూ గెట్ జాయ్ ఇన్ ద క్లబ్?
ఆ క్లబ్లకు పోవటము, కార్డ్స్ ఆడటము, బాటిల్స్ తీసుకోవటము, శాంతిగా ప్రపంచాన్ని మర్చిపోయి కూర్చోవటము.
గోయింగ్ టు ద క్లబ్స్, ప్లేయింగ్ కార్డ్స్, డ్రింకింగ్ ఇంటాక్సికెంట్స్ అండ్ ఫర్గెటింగ్ ద వరల్డ్.
ఇంకా 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 మధ్య మధ్య పానీయం సమపాయాలు ఏమేమో చేస్తూ ఉంటారు.
In the middle, they go on doing many other things.
ఇవన్నీ కూడాను కేవలము సుఖశాంతి నిమిత్తమై ఆచరించేటువంటి సత్కర్మలుగా భావిస్తున్నారు.
They think that this is all action meant to give them joy, happiness and peace.
ఇది చాలా దుర్మార్గమైనటువంటి మార్గం.
This is rather wicked path, evil path.
ఈ సుఖము సుఖమైనటువంటి ఆపేక్షతో దుఃఖాన్ని వారు కొంటున్నారు.
In the expectation of happiness, they are only getting sorrow.
వారిని వారు చెడిపోవటమే కాకుండా వారి యొక్క సమాజాన్ని కూడా చెడగొడుతున్నారు.
Not merely they are spoiled and ruining the society.
ఈ విధమైనటువంటి మార్గము మొట్టమొదటి ప్రారంభము లోపల చాలా సుఖంగానే కనిపించవచ్చు.
In the beginning, this path seems to confer really happiness.
ఇది పోతూ 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 క్రమక్రమేణ ఎక్కడికి దిగుతుంది?
As you go on this path, gradually where
first,
you land yourself.
The man drinks the wine.
In the first place, man takes
second, the wine drinks the wine.
Second, wine
third, winding the man. ఇది జరుగుతుంది ఇంకా.
This is what happens at the end, wine drinks man.
కేవలం తాను తాను తీసుకుంటున్నానని భ్రమిస్తున్నాడు కాదు, అదే తనను తీసుకుంటుండాలి.
He is deluding himself that he is drinking the wine, but wine is drinking him.
ఈ విధమైనటువంటి ఒక శాంతిని కోరి పెడమార్గమును పట్టి జీవితాన్ని భ్రష్టు పట్టించుకుంటున్నారు.
Aspiring to get happiness by this particular path, he is only ruining himself and destroying.
There is one the thing which I'm wondering about is how beautifully Swami is connecting something which is very practical to something which is so esoteric.
Correct.
And how seamlessly Swami is flowing from the profound concepts from day-to-day explanations.
That's really amazing. One thing which came to my mind when Swami is talking about the earth and the speed at which the earth is rotating and the earth is going around. Sometimes Swami says, people come and they ask you, where is the proof that God exists? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have an answer, because you cannot prove that here is where God exists, and there is no visible proof because he is beyond the mind. But, by taking examples like this, you are sitting now here in the studio, and you believe you are absolutely steady.
Right.
And you feel that I am not moving. But is that the truth? The whole world is moving. And at what rate? It's because it's moving at that speed, you think you are steady here. So there are so many things which are beyond our, cognizance.
Right. In fact, that is what would have been the question when, somebody like Newton or some of those early scientists would have come by and said that the earth moves at this many thousand miles per hour. And, that would have been the question, how can you say I'm standing? In a cart which is moving at, say, 20, 30 miles per hour, I cannot stand still. And you are telling me that this earth moves at 66,000 miles per hour, as Swami is saying here, and I'm able to stand where I am without falling.
That's the thing.
You must have had the experience of traveling even in a lift can give you that giddiness.
Yeah, I
in
did
that speed, right?
In Dubai, you actually go up 120, 122 floors, I think, in a matter of 55 seconds.
Okay.
And, very beautifully, they have played some music and they show some visuals about the Dubai Mall in the lift, so that you are actually distracted.
Distracted, right.
On my way up, I fell for those visuals because I was seeing, oh, Dubai Mall has this and this and this. And so I didn't realize. On my way down, I decided I will not concentrate on that. And then when I concentrated on the speed of the lift, I really felt the pressure in my ears,
Right. That's the wonder, right? Here Swami is saying that Earth is first of all spinning on its own axis at a tremendous speed, and then it's revolving around the Earth also. But still, is there any amount of discomfort we're feeling because of the movement?
Absolutely.
That's the really...
Because these points can be given to say that there are things which are subtler,
right,
beyond perception,
right.
And then he speaks about how the modern English education has actually changed the perspective and the focus what is the truth to what is ephemeral and what is...
And the two points that Swami is making, initially Swami talks about nature and he says the lesson which we have to learn from nature, and the lesson which nature is imparting, is that do the duty for duty's sake.
Correct.
And the next thing which Swami says is this story where he says that a fellow who goes and sits in the office and spends 7 hours, 8 hours feels so pressured about that work. Okay, when your duty is so limited, you're not able to do the duty for duty's sake. You feel that you need relaxation. You need to go and release that pressure out. And Swami is talking about drinking and the other habits which happen.
Talking of this, I'm just tempted to ask, why do you get stressed in an office work? Is it because you do not like the work? Are you doing it under pressure? See, if you look at it in a very practical way, if you do not like a particular job, only then you get stressed.
Right.
You are under too much pressure. But if you like a job... you are never under pressure. Swami gave darshan every day of morning and evening. He gave interviews. What a boring job it is. you go and then you call people and you listen to their problems. But he did it with so much love. So he was never under pressure. Although...
Yeah, two things. Yeah, one thing is loving the job which you do.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is doing it without any expectation.
That's the next point.
Right. I mean, that is how Swami did it.
Yeah.
I don't think he ever, though he might have pretended like how he pretended to be angry, I don't think there was any moment when Swami sank in his chair and said that, what's the whole point, I'm doing all this and nothing's happening.
In fact, there's a very moving clip in Kodaikanal where Swami says, you know, students, I have done everything for you. I don't want anything from you. I think that was in 2009, the last trip to Kodaikanal. He says, only one thing I want from you. You go and get a good name for yourselves. Having studied here, having studied in an environment so conducive to goodness, to good thoughts, you go and get a good name for yourself.
And you know, the last thing which Swami said here, those three lines in English, you know, it's so very beautiful. Because Swami is saying that first you think that you are making this decision of drinking. But then you are getting into a mode where you have no ability to make a decision on your own. Right? That is what happens here. And Swami is saying that you are willfully selling off your freedom. You are willfully selling off the control you have over yourself. That's what Swami says. You know, first the wine, the man drinks the wine.
Correct.
Then the wine
drinks.
Yeah, wine drinks wine is like once the wine goes inside, it seeks more wine.
Correct.
So the wine drinks the wine, and then Swami says, "Wine drinks man." Then
wine drinks the man. It's amazing. But you know, when Swami was speaking about education, there's one beautiful quotation I just read somewhere. I'm not sure whose it is. It says, "It is a miracle that curiosity has survived modern education." Modern education kills curiosity, but in the ultimate sense of the term, what is it what is it worth being curious about?
Right.
What is the actual pursuit you are, you know, what is it that you are actually pursuing? So, that's what it says.
So, I think we're close to the time to wind up here. So that your listeners...
No, we are past the time to wind up.
Yeah, a little well past that time to wind up. Bishu is here for his last segment of the day. So we will leave you now with Bishu for his Outside Inside Deep Inside segment. This is Prem from Team Radio Sai with Sai Prakash. We will join you next week, same time, that is 7:30 on Thursday Live. Till then, happy listening.